Hey, Sheldon, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing, brother? How's things up in Seattle?
Surprisingly sunny. How about for you down in the Bay Area?
Awesome. Well, normally sunny.
Normally sunny, Ned.
No
That's good.
surprise whatsoever. Beautiful
Normally
weather.
running to the sun for you.
Just beautiful. Yes, running to the sun, absolutely.
Awesome. And hello to all the listeners out there. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this.
Oh yeah, those people too.
All
Yes.
of those brothers and sisters out
The
there,
brothers and sisters.
Sheldon's fans.
I'm always just talking to my brother Scott. Cool,
Hey,
cool,
we're
cool.
talking Course in Miracles stuff again today.
Of course,
On,
radio.
of course, radio on BBS Radio, Channel 1. And, we typically don't say hello to the BBS guys, but we love those guys.
They're awesome.
I've had a great experience on BBS and much love to Doug and Don. So thank you to both of those guys for their awesome support, the great technical work that they do behind the scenes. So thank you very much.
They're an awesome bunch of guys. They're awesome.
Yes.
They really are. I know you have more interaction with them since you do everything that has to do with this thing, but they are cool. I love them. So did we have a topic this week? Did we ever figure something out that we were actually going to talk about?
Well, I think our topic is going to be just again how to apply A Course in Miracles and how I usually say it, true forgiveness in your daily life, especially because I think as we keep talking about this particular year, it just seems like the energy and a lot of people's experiences have been that just everything's getting amped up, everything's getting more intense. I think Sheldon, you and I have both each been experiencing that in our in different ways, and I've been I think as we talk to different people, everyone's been experiencing that differently, and then we're seeing a lot of things in the news, and I think having something like A Course in Miracles can help you see through a lot of this and get through it, hopefully in a lot more peaceful manner and in a way that you can kind of see through the illusion of it.
There's a lot going on, and it definitely can be dramatic and traumatic and crazy and all of that stuff. So, yeah, because ultimately it's about applying a practice right into your life and having that manifest and hopefully have results that you can feel in your beingness, right? So that you are happier and
Right.
more peaceful and more joyful. And if it's not working for you, then maybe it's, maybe you need to try something else, or maybe you need to look at it. And so for me, it's always been about, where the rubber meets the road out in your daily life, when you're going about driving your car and we with your family and with your friends and with your coworkers and all those things that we do in daily life. It's not about trying to remove yourself from any of those circumstances. It's about finding peace within each and every circumstance that you encounter. And how do you do that?
Yeah, and I think that's why A Course in Miracles is popular and is gaining more popularity because I think it's people are understanding that it is meant to be the pure message that I think Jesus was trying to get across even 2,000 years ago, but sort of reinterpreted for modern times. But how do you basically be spiritual while being in the world rather than removing yourself and just meditating in a cave your whole life? Because that could be one way to become enlightened, but it's probably not the way for most people. It's by participating in the world and seeing through the illusion of the world of bodies.
Absolutely. And it's certainly the path that I think you and I have chosen and are living right now. And like you said, not that other things aren't beautiful expressions for those who feel called. And the beauty of the course is you can apply it at any moment, in any instant, in any circumstance, and that's the whole point of it. So.
Yep. It's simply one lighthouse out of many that some might be called to experience. And that's what we talk about. So welcome.
And we're going to talk about that. sort
and we
of.
Are. Yeah. And so, yeah, why don't we start with some quotes?
Okay. You go first.
Okay. I might have already have shared this on a previous show, but I always like to revisit this one. This, I love this one because it's sort of the Catholic Our Father reinterpreted. I think the kind of the original intention behind the Our Father, but through the Course's eyes, and it's in the text, chapter 16, section 7, paragraph 12. And it is, "Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will, and let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen."
Wow, beautiful. There you go. Take that one in. That's worth rereading. Okay, so mine is chapter 8, which is called The Journey Back. And just the first, kind of the first and second paragraphs, there's a little thought here I wanted to read. It's a little bit, but it's section 1 called The Direction of the Curriculum. And it says, "Knowledge is not the motivation for learning this course. Peace is. This is the prerequisite for knowledge, only because those who are in conflict are not peaceful, and peace is the condition of knowledge because it is the condition of the kingdom. Knowledge can be restored to you only when you meet its conditions. This is not a bargain made by God, who makes no bargains. It is merely the result of your misuse of his laws on behalf of an imaginary will that is not his. Knowledge is his will. If you're opposing his will, how can you have knowledge? I have told you what knowledge offers you, but perhaps you do not yet regard this as wholly desirable. If you did, you would not be so ready to throw it away when the ego asks you for allegiance. The distractions of the ego may seem to interfere with your learnings, but the ego has no power to distract you unless you give it the power to do so. The ego's voice is a hallucination. You cannot expect it to say, 'I am not real.' Yet you are not asked to dispel your hallucinations alone. You are merely asked to evaluate them in terms of their results to you. If you do not want them on the basis of loss of peace, they will be removed from your mind for you." There you go.
Beautiful.
So it's kind of a whole process there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I love about the Course. It's always about returning to some sort of a process through forgiveness, and usually about addressing the ego or going around the ego and going back to love or to God.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Time for a meditation.
I think so. And if I remember correctly, today is your day, Sheldon.
Cool. All right. Okay. I'll do it. Okay. So as we always say, if you're driving or doing something that you can't fully relax into, then you might want to do this later. But if you are able to sit or lie or get nice and comfortable, perhaps close your eyes. I'm taking this moment to sort of just relax into your beingness. Nice deep breath. Sinking into presence. Using the breath as a means for relaxing the body. allowing the thoughts to drift in and out, allowing the breath to flow freely, allowing the energy to flow through the body. Allowing the presence deep within the heart to awaken and to radiate, filling the body with light. Allowing the light within to join the light without. Without any thoughts of separation or any fears, that might block the light within and the light without. This is the illusion of separation. And you find yourself floating in a sea of radiance. An ocean of divine light, kaleidoscopic colors, some that have never been experienced in this physical realm. And you need to be relaxed to allow the light to flow through the cells of your body. Relaxation is the key to embodiment, embodying the light of the Christ in this dimension and form. Breath being the key to relaxation. I breathe the breath of God. The breath of God breathes me. Allowing the flow. And noticing the areas of the body where tightness, strain, stress may hide and reside, and breathing into those areas. And feeling the peace of that is beyond all understanding, because it is not of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But it is born in this present moment, and it lives in this present moment, only in this present moment. This holy instant. And this is communion. And we give thanks for this time. And start wiggling the toes and moving around and returning back. And we will call that a meditation. There you go. Done.
Thanks, Sheldon.
That's it. Boom.
Well, that was very beautiful. Thank you.
Cool.
I love the breath of God part. That was really nice.
That's way of mastery. That's jam.
So you stole that.
I plagiarized, stolen completely. Everything is. Everything I say.
It's very nice. Okay. So today we'll be talking about applying forgiveness and A Course in Miracles. And just as a reminder for anybody that may be listening live, if you have any questions or maybe anything that you want to share about your experience with A Course in Miracles, you can call in and chat with us live at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Or you can email us offline at info@ofcourseradio.com. Okay. So is there anything recently in your life, Sheldon, that you've a recent example in your life where you've actually applied some forgiveness formula or the course?
Well, I think it would be a great place to start with. To me, it feels like getting back to basics, right? This topic, mm-hmm. Just getting back to what are the, let's take a look at, because there is so much wild stuff going on in the world right now. It's always nice to have like a review, if you will, like, hey, let's get back to the basics of, what is this course all about, and how do you use it, right? And then, and you know, the experience of peace in the world, regardless of what might be going on, it would be a beautiful thing. And the course does say, I think it says, a mind at peace is no small feat. You know, that it is a big deal, especially with all of the wackiness that we see in all different shapes and forms right now. So what do you do or what do I do or whatever? I think that if you're starting the course, just doing the lessons, reading the text, was always a very potent way for me to return to some level of peace. Sometimes it didn't last more than the moment in which I was reading the lesson, and as soon as I stopped reading it, the peace would go away. But I could feel it. I could feel like an energy transmission, if you will. I could feel the fact that while I open this book and I start reading it, it literally felt like it made everything in the outside world go away. And I would disappear into these words and feel this level of peace that was incredible. And then, like I said, I could close the book, stop reading it, and be right back where I took off as completely out of peace as I was. But noticing that, wow, there's something going on with this particular teaching. That's why I connected with it so potently, mm-hmm. That it did provide relief, even if it was for moments at a time. And within that, going through the process, and that's the beauty of the lessons, had a person in the group who had never heard of the course, and she's, her family was Buddhist, and I'd done a bunch of meditations and practices and, you know, breathing exercises and all kinds of stuff. But the course was like awesome because it's like 365 lessons. You don't have to like them. You don't have to understand them. You don't have to agree with them. You know, you can, matter of fact, it says you will actively disagree or actively resist some of it if it's, you know. And I thought, wow, I can do that. You know, I can go through 365 lessons even if I hate them. I got no problem doing that. I stood and meditated on top of rocks with my bare feet for like 4 years. I can, you know, do a couple of lessons, you know, just do them in order, one a day, piece of cake. And felt the effects of that transition of to me, I describe it as going from your head to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mind, the normal everyday thinking mind is where the egoic judgments, it's where judgment and condemnation come from, right? It's where, you know, you're wrong, I'm right, or all of those things are coming from. Whereas the heart, the expanded open heart, the connected heart is where we're all one and where compassion arises naturally. So how do you get out of your head and into your heart? And the Course is a direct pathway to that. And then, you know, as you travel down the path, I think it becomes you're more and more connected with your heart space. And you can, for me, being a person that kind of feels energy and stuff, I can feel if the thing is open or closed. I can feel if I'm in a quiet state in my mind. And then if I'm not, returning back to a practice of quietness, meditation, turning within and examining why it is that I'm not at peace. But that questioning doesn't focus on what the circumstances are. It focuses on what's in my heart and what's in my judgments and my mind that are overwhelming me at the moment and making me caught up in judgment and condemnation versus expansive openness and acceptance. So there's this evolution that's happened for me as far as like, you know, if you're in the Course and doing the Course, I think if you get caught up in something, I would just whip out the lesson and start doing it and it would shift things. Now it's kind of like part of your beingness, you know what I mean? It's a fundamental part of how you look at everything. But I'm always focused on why am I not at peace in this moment, if I'm not, which is, you know, when things come up and looking at, and it's always related to fear. There's always something that's based in fear and guilt, because those are the fundamental aspects of the, you know, what happened in the separation, right? Fear of God punishing and guilt about the idea that separation happened. And so everything kind of traces back to some kind of fear, some kind of guilt, and everything, all the other emotions like the anger or whatever, jealousy, whatever it is that comes up is really, if you boil it down, cook down into those, you know, the fundamental fear. And then fear births all these other aspects and expressions. Just like love births other aspects and expressions of love, fear can do the same thing. It's just different, and you have to kind of look through all of that.
Yeah, I think that's, I heard a lot of stuff in there, and I think like you had talked about going back to basics, and maybe if there's a way to kind of boil that down to, like when you're feeling like a lack of peace, how do you quickly boil it down to, you know, what do you do?
For me, and everyone's different about it, right? The 5-step method that I use, and again, this has been doing this for a year, couple, you know, a little bit of time, gone through the lessons. I don't actually do the lessons particularly. I will breathe into the state, the feeling state. So in other words, you know, somebody says something to you. And oftentimes for me, you know, Jacqueline, my wife, you know, the perfect opportunity. And that's what special relationships are about. They're the ones that trigger you on the deepest level. And so if she says something and she triggers me, breathing into the vibration of what's coming up in the heart, there will be a state in your body, like how tuned into your body, right? And boom, it starts to shut down. Boom, there's an anger, let's say. You know, and it's just like, ooh, why does she say that to me? Right. And then I feel defensive, right? And I want to attack her and I want to say, you know, you're wrong and I'm right and all that kind of stuff. Without getting the mind and into how she's wrong and I'm right, because that's the natural egoic defensive attack mode of judgment and condemnation, breathing into the feeling of it. How does it feel in my body? What's there. And again, that's for me is the, you know, returning as a child, innocent wonder, like wondering, wow, I'm totally caught up in this moment. And so there's already, for that, you already have to have a certain level of awareness, right? And be able to sort of hold into that space without getting caught up into it. So you're holding into that space, that vibration, and feeling the angst of it, feeling the anger, feeling the unsettledness within the beingness of your body, and breathing into it and releasing it. And if you can quiet your mind, oftentimes what happens with me is a memory will pop in. And what I mean by that is the trigger that you have, the sensitivity in your body and your beingness to a type of expression from your brother, your sister, right? Somebody appearingly separate from you says something and it upsets you. It upsets you because you have a trigger, right? It's a button sitting there. So why is that button there? And that button is there from something else. It didn't just form out of nothingness. And that's what we always think. Like, I wouldn't be at peace if you didn't say that. Well, why does that expression bring you out of peace? It's because there's something there underneath it. And that's what you're digging into to find out. And I don't use the analytical mind always. Sometimes you can do that. And people will do that through, you know, contemplative questioning and experience. But usually what happens when people do that is they'll start to go out into, well, she said this, you said that, you shouldn't have said that, or you know what I mean? But if you're going within and you're asking yourself, where does that come from? Where is that unsettled part of me? And you quiet your mind. For me, a lot of times, weird scenarios. My mom said this when I was five, you know, when I was a little baby, when I was a little toddler, I remember this happening to me and it created a state of fear and it created this bam. And then all of a sudden, there's an old wound there. So that's what gets released. That's what you ask the Holy Spirit to help you with. And sometimes you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see it. How can I see this differently, right? And so you're bringing in the Holy Spirit, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, and you're surrendering Jesus, and you're releasing into that light, this memory, the experiences. And if you can sit in that, it's very interesting because the energy, the feeling state will diffuse through. The anger can pass right through you. Those are all just like energies, but you have to hold into it. And so there's a mental, all of the thing that makes a feeling state hook into your body and hook into your energy and all that stuff is the thought process and the judgment and all of that stuff. That's what takes like pain and turns it into suffering. You know what I mean? They say in this dimension, you will experience pain, but you don't have to suffer. You know, what does that mean? It's all of the judgment that goes around the physical or that energy state, that feeling state, and turns it into an emotional response. And that's what hooks into your body and you keep it there. So if you can stay just into the feeling state, you can release it with help. You just ask for it. You can call in light. You can call in Holy Spirit. You can literally use light frequencies to help diffuse that. And once that thing's diffused, then the button is healed. The person can say the exact same thing, exact same scenario, and you won't even realize that, you know, oh yeah, I used to get upset when people said stuff like that and forget, not even realize that. So people ask me, well, how do you know if you're healed with something? It won't show up. And we were just talking about this in the last group on Wednesday. It won't show up in the sense that even if it shows up, you won't even realize it showed up because you're not triggered anymore and you forget that when somebody behaves like that, that used to upset me. Do you know what I mean saying? It's like you won't even recognize it. You go, yeah, that used to be a button or whatever, you know, somebody behaved like that. You know, so in the sense it didn't show up because you weren't triggered anymore, so you didn't even care. And then I think sometimes it doesn't show up, like it physically, you don't even experience that scenario anymore. So that to me is like this process of releasing. Why? Because the world, your experiential process is happening for you, not to you. It's happening for your release into greater levels of peace and love and compassion. So it's showing you where you need love, peace, and compassion for yourself.
So how can you summarize all of what you just said for the last several minutes into like maybe like a few simple bullet points?
I thought
to
it was
like make it easier, right? Because it's you know, all of what the course says, it is complex, right? It's a very complex book, but I do think it's got like some pretty recurring themes and steps that you can take throughout the book. So I am curious, is, you know, for you, is there a way that you can summarize it like pretty succinctly?
It's never about the experience. It's always about your interpretation of the experience. So it's always the mind stream that causes the lack of peace. But when you say that, people will try to force the mind stream into something that isn't naturally occurring. And that's the issue that I have with like the law of attraction. You know, oh, I got to think positive. Oh, I got to think positive. I got to think positive. So they're trying to think positive all the time, but all this stuff is happening to them. They want to react negative. So they try to force their mind to think positive, but they have this underlying fear, anger, judgment that's happening with it. You have to look at all of that stuff and go through it. And when you go through it, then it and you release it with the Holy Spirit, whatever, then it doesn't come up anymore. Then you've healed it. Then it doesn't come up. Then the positive thought stream happens naturally. That didn't work either, right? That wasn't an answer, was it?
I think what I heard you say is like when you are kind of feeling like a lack of peace, you kind of confront it, right? You just kind of say, oh, it's there. Then you release it. And then what I heard you say is then naturally the positive thoughts or maybe more peace comes through you. Is that
essentially
kind of how it works for you?
You are absolutely not denying the feeling emotional state. Mm-hmm. You have to allow whatever it is to come through you and it will pass. This too shall pass. It will pass, but it's not through resistance. Resistance creates persistence. So when you say, I don't want to feel that state, you've locked that state into your energy field, into your body, and it will stay. You just mm-hmm. guaranteed that it will stay because your resistance creates a persistence, right? It's like, mm-hmm. I always do it with my hands. Like one hand, a wave of energy coming at you, you put your other hand out to stop it and you just locked it into your field. Whereas if you breathe and you simply were in a perfect state of allowance, it would literally pass right through you. And you can have anger, all kinds of intense states pass through you in 30 seconds, 10 seconds. But most mm-hmm. of us get caught up into that feeling, the anger, the judgment, boom, 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 and that's what locks it.
Yeah.
So yes, you have to allow and face whatever's coming up into the field. It's a matter of not getting caught into it. Some people will say, you know, I can choose differently. Right? As yeah. there's four sayings, I can choose differently. I can see this differently. Mm-hmm. Love is real. You know, and those things help people to shift their mental state. I would say that if you're doing that, you're saying, you know, this isn't real, this isn't real, this isn't real, but you're not at the same time acknowledging what you are experiencing, then you're blocking. Then you're denying the experience that you're having, and you're in essence by your denial and your repression making it real. So the unreality of the experience, the ability of you to transcend and transmute an experience in an instant with the help of the Holy Spirit only happens by your allowance and openness to it. Because mm-hmm. that's only when you experience that it isn't in fact real. The whole time you're going, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. You're actually making it real. You know what I'm saying? You are doing what you, so that's the kind of the trick to the whole thing. Not the trick, but I mean, it's like, that's what it is, right? Is people are like, oh, this is real. But there's a resistance. They don't want to experience it. And whatever you're resisting, like I said, whatever you resist will persist. So that's where, even in meditation today, we were talking about, you know, I think that was, what was I talking about? It was relaxation, right? So that was the key to the meditation was relaxation. I feel like perfect relaxation would be perfect presence. Like your physical body literally resists light, which is your true state. It literally is blocking it on a certain level. Like there's like a that's why when you see people get like blessed, sometimes and their body will start shaking and jerking and stuff like that. It's like this transmission of energy through their body that literally is being blocked so much that they jerk. And that when they learn how to relax into it, they can take that light and it won't make their body jerk anymore, because it's like electrical currents. It's like having a thick wire that can carry a lot of current and a thin wire, which will blow up if you put too much current through it. And there's like spiritual light current that your body can handle, but you have to be relaxed or it won't. In the Chinese Qigong practices, energy practices, they talk about grounding energy from heaven into earth, strengthens the wires. And when you bring the earth energy up through your body, it's like a lightning bolt. And if your body isn't capable, you'll short your circuits out. That's taught. So it's kind of like that. This relaxation is the natural state of openness, because love is open and accepting. So when you're not open and accepting, you're not in love. But, you know, we have these things that close us down, looking at those and allowing that to express itself and pass through. So not saying, oh, I want to be in love. I want to be in love. You know, this is it. I want to be in love. And that really is a form of resistance. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. I think there's a lot there. I might not have followed all of it. I'm just kind of going through my own sorting through all that, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. You have a different way of expressing or experiencing the course and working with the course. So do you want to share? I feel like I've been talking this whole time. Do you want to share how you work with the Course in Miracles in terms of your experiences?
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep it simple. Because I do think, you know, it is easy to get bogged down, and especially when you read the course, I think it can be tough one to get into the course, because it reads so complicated, especially when you first pick it up. But then when you actually get into it and read it, especially if you can read the text, and like you've been saying, if you can get through the workbook, go through all 365 lessons, whether you get it or not. It's meant to just kind of sink through your subconscious. And it by the time you get through it, all of a sudden the text makes more sense. The way everything's worded, just it all of a sudden starts to click. And so you start to understand the words and what it's trying to tell you, which is this repeated theme, which is, you know, you are the Holy Son of God. And that as you start to look at your brothers and sisters that way and as spirit, and that your job is really as forgiveness is to see them that way, then all of a sudden you will become more peaceful, become more loving, and become closer to God by practicing forgiveness mm-hmm. as much as you can. And that's kind of what it's saying over and over again. And so like you had said, like our romantic relationships, our friendships, our work relationships, the things that we see on the news, it's all used for the same purpose when you're using it as, you know, through the Course in Miracles, through true forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I try to do is, as I'm going through my day and I realize I'm feeling either stressed out or, you know, anger towards someone or maybe some sadness or just frustration, or I notice I'm judging someone, it's like you had said from earlier, it's just being self-aware and going, whoa, wait a second. I am definitely judging this person, this situation, or myself, and I don't want to do that. I would rather experience peace. Mm-hmm. And you stop that process. You either mm-hmm. just mentally stop it, or like you said, I can repeat something from the course. I could read something from the course. Like one that I like to use a lot is, I'm not a body, I am free. I'm still as God created me. Or something from like one of the Gary Renard books. And that stops it. And then you release it. And I usually just go, Holy Spirit, I'd rather experience peace than this. And that just releases it. And then usually I can feel a shift, or mm-hmm. sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm. But at least I've released it, and then I try not to get in the way again. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it resolves itself, or maybe it doesn't, and maybe I need to do it over and over again. But that's kind of the process, revisiting it over and over again.
And you brought up a really good point I wanted to just sort of – is that when you do that, I would call it a pattern interrupt, right?
Yeah.
It interrupts the reactive mind and stops you. And in that instant that you do that, then you have that opportunity to shift your perception, right? Yep. So there's that's why the awareness is the first step, but it's really just the first step. And that's what that's really key. And because I remember when we were working through the course that everybody had different post-its on their computer or things that came in their mind, like you were saying, I can see things differently or whatever it was, that those pattern interrupts stopped you from immediately going into like counter defense attack or whatever in the scenario. And then that was the instant that you had a choice.
Yep.
That provided that, okay, now what are you going to do with this?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
That returns you to the awareness that you have a choice. Because before you would just react. That's how we would do it, right? We would just respond. You know, you said this, fuck you, or whatever, you know, and you're going to react. Versus at the moment when you start to have these abilities through a quote or a lesson or a phrase in your mind that interrupts the instantaneous reaction, now you have a choice and you can respond. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's important.
Yeah. Or even, I mean, just to be honest, I mean, I've been struggling a little bit through this show. I'm still having some like physical issues. I've been having like these lightheaded things going on as even in this show, or just these things going on in my body. And I've been having to try to do the show, but also kind of work with the Holy Spirit while we're doing this. And and that's what I find to be really challenging, practicing the course, because it is meant to be this internal mind training effort, right? Like you don't want to be going, like let's say you're at a meeting at work and you're really struggling with some people or the like what's going on, the content of the meeting. And you're not going to sit there and go, I'm forgiving all of you. I'm practicing A Course in Miracles. You know, you're not going to be doing that. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing your job, but in your mind, you're going to be trying to practice forgiveness, you know, joining with the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes you just got to kind of check out and take care of yourself. I mean, I had to do that a couple times, just to be honest with you, because for whatever reason, this morning's been a little bit tougher for me. And it helps. Sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, it's part of the process.
For me with work, and it's an interesting, it's a weird, you know, this is all part of the process for all of us, right? And every one of us is different. I'll literally try to stay in my heart space and feel this certain level of openness and radiance within the center of my chest and vibration. And if I don't, and I try to keep that, and I'm aware at all times almost, like I'm aware a lot of the time of how that space feels. And I got triggered with some stuff at work and literally will just feel that thing. It's kind of weird. Like I'm literally not worried or thinking about what to say. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about whether there's a vibration down there going or not. Hmm. And it's wild. And when there is, whatever comes out of my mouth just comes out of my mouth and I'm not tripping. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting kind of way for me. This is what I've been doing. It's like literally, and sometimes what comes out can be very strong and seem caught up and aggressive. But if I feel like my heart on fire, like bang, there's like a strong vibration in it, then to me, I feel like I'm okay. Like whatever's flowing out of me is flowing out from a space that's pretty connected at this moment, and maybe not perfect, but it's, you know, as good as I can get it right now. And so it's a very interesting thing. Again, I have I'm pretty tuned into the vibrational feeling in my body. So as long as that vibration is there, I'm good. That's kind of how I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the sacred heart vibration.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. So I don't even, like sometimes I'll say whatever I'm saying and then I'll try to tell somebody, I can't remember what exactly I was saying because I kind of am almost in this weird space where it's like, okay, mm-hmm. you know, I spouted off and said a bunch of shit to this guy or whatever, but I don't remember what it was kind of. it's like, you know, the meditations, it's like, I don't remember what the meditation was about sort of, you know what I mean? I have to concentrate to figure it out. But yes, it's like being aware of your state. That's it. And then allowing whatever's flowing out of it to flow out of it. So it's like I'm in a meeting. Oh, I can feel my heart shutting down. Let's open it up. You know, let's make, you know, why is that? Whatever. And working with that, staying open and feeling the openness as best you can in that instant, right? And sometimes you might not be able to, but whatever it is, and being aware of that, and then going from that place.
Through that place. I think what you said is really important. And one of the things that I'm getting out of writing this novel that I've been working on called Masters of Love, and it's been kind of getting into the mindset of both Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. And one of the big things that's come up for me recently is how much they've devoted their literally time to connecting with Holy Spirit and God. And they've done it so much that Jesus was literally there fully by the time he was crucified. Mary, I think, needed a little bit more time, but was almost there. But they were so there that all it took for them was that they were so connected to Holy Spirit, to God, that all they had to do was direct their will, and that they were able to, you know, do what we would consider to be miracles, right? Like doing things like walking on water, you know, water into wine, things like that. And that's the power of the mind. Like when you're connected, like you're just bringing the words in, right? So you're talking through Spirit. And you're bringing the words in that could literally heal people. Your words can be healing people. Your thoughts could be healing people. Or your words or thoughts could be changing people's lives so that they're moving in the direction that will heal them or that will bring them more peace and more love and joy. And that's the power that you don't even know or could be aware of. That's working behind the scenes at the subconscious level that Spirit's working at. And that's kind of the power behind all this that, I mean, again, not to bring power to the ego, but that's the power of the Spirit, right?
You know, Bishop Michael, the guy that you've met, and he mentions, you know, in the kingdom and the power and the glory, right? That's the power is mentioned. So you seek first the kingdom. You radiate power. Love is power. Love is power. It's not the egoic power that we might associate with that word, but the power of love is to heal all things, to transmute all things. But you have to go into the kingdom within, which is to connect to that place of unconditional love, right? First, and then whatever comes out radiates a power of love. And like you said, will reflect and manifest and echo in all kinds of different ways in people, places, things that you're not even aware of. And so allowing that to happen in however the form is supposed to be without regard or worry about it, right? Because that would be an ego like, oh, did they change? Did I heal them? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Or are they different? You know, it's like, who cares? It's not my, that is not my will, right? That's not my concern, really. It's just you're connected, you're expressing, and you're letting go.
Exactly.
and that's a trick. You know, people say, hey, you know, what's going on? Or, you know, especially if you're, you know, like sometimes for me, it's like, you know, running the Course in Miracles group, people are coming in and you obviously want them to shift, you want them to heal, you want them to feel more peace. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So then there's a constant surrendering, constant release to what is, and allowing that.
Exactly. Yep.
I find that to be a very interesting line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I think a lot of the questions a lot of course students have is, well, you know, when am I going to be done? You know, doing this whole forgiveness thing. Well, you're not done till you're done. Sorry.
I would say you're never done. But what does happen is you will fall into greater and greater and greater levels of bliss. That's what happens. I don't believe that. I think that experience of that, even, you know, the people, Jesus is now going by Yeshua, who's now going by Lord Sananda, whatever it is, right? Okay, fine. What is that? You know, he's returning deeper and deeper into bliss. You know, it doesn't, you know, and oh, the name reflects a different energy. Okay, fine, you know, but it's all your, it's like, again, in Way of Mastery talks about that thing. It really hit me was the plum, you know, a plum, Bob, the weight dropping into an ocean of infinite depth. really hit me. And it really hit me because I had this experience when I was in college at the academy. I was fixing a toilet on the dock of on the sailboat, and I had a wrench, and it was, you know, Caribbean water. It was beautiful water, and the wrench dropped. It was a crescent wrench, and it dropped into the water. And I remember thinking that I was going to dive into the water and get it, right? Have you ever seen a wrench drop in the water? Bam! That fast, out of sight, 50 million feet deep. Like it fell, like, you know what I mean? It was lead, it was metal, it was steel or whatever, right? And that thing just wham, and it was gone. I was like, oh, that thing fell fast. And so when I heard that expression, it's a plum dropping into an ocean of infinite depth. It really hit me because I remember that moment going, wow. And you never hit the bottom. There's always more. God is always deeper. The love, the bliss, the ecstatic experience can always be deeper. It's literally limited by your ability to stay completely relaxed and in it. And in the physical body, that's really tricky. I think even without the physical body, there are levels that continue to expand your ability within that. That's kind of how I look at it. So, yeah, it's not something that you worry about getting to. That's an egoic trap, right? Oh, am I done yet? Am I done yet? You know, that is that to me is an egoic construct.
Yeah. Well, I think the Course even says that God will take the last step.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Basically, you're not done until you're done, and then God will decide basically when you're done.
Yeah.
When your mind is healed, right? Enough that God basically recognizes that your mind is healed enough to return fully back to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is a comforting thought, but to others might not be, but I appreciate that. But hey, I'm also noticing time. I think we're getting close to our top of our hour, and I just wanted to make sure we had some time to acknowledge whatever's going on your end, Sheldon, with AUM.
We have a set of performances. If you go to artsunitymovement.com, I still haven't shifted that to .org, but anyway, artsunitymovement.com, and go to the calendar. We have we have some performances coming up at Notre Dame University. And what is the exact weekend? I'm kind of even confusing myself. I think it's next week. What is it? I'm kind of embarrassed, but in a couple of weeks, we have some performances going on in NDNU Theater. And you can find it on the calendar there. And what's going on with you, Scott?
Not a whole lot.
Well, you're writing a book.
I've been down for a while. Yeah, writing a book. It won't be ready until next year sometime easily. Sorry, we're noticing some messages there. I won't have a book out until probably sometime next year. So I'm just probably finishing the first draft sometime this month or next month. And then I'll be working on getting that out. But it'll be a fictional novel about the life of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, from the perspective more of it like A Course in Miracles perspective and their lives together and how they were, you know, masters of love and how they performed miracles and how really when Jesus was crucified, he was so enlightened, he never felt any pain. He was at total peace.
Awesome. It's beautiful. Yeah. And it's transforming you. And just real quick, I did find it's an NDNU theater. It's called A Vibrant Stillness, July 29th and 30th at 7:30 p.m. at the theater. So tickets are at the theater only right now. So our dance company is A Vibrant Stillness, which is a beautiful title. And that's going to be going on. That's actually a collaboration with some Indian dance companies. So there's a blend of Western dance, Eastern dance. It's going to be awesome. So check that out. Awesome.
Check it out. All right. Well, thanks, Sheldon. And thanks for those that have been listening, and really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Love you, brother.
Okay. Love you too.